You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
While you were skipping stones, building forts, and flying kites, I was missing school and all my Saturday nights. Other kids were climbing trees and rolling down hills. I was singing songs to pay my family's bills. Little me, growing up Broadway. Little me.
Hi, everybody. I'm Mark Tuminelli. I'm a male, in case you couldn't tell from my voice. Andrew, don't laugh yet because we haven't introduced you. Welcome to the Little Me podcast, our very first episode. This could be the start of God knows what. Before I introduce my guests, I have to thank Broadway's Randy Redd for writing my little theme song, and also Broadway's Greg Kinney for creating the track, and Broadway's Brianna Gentilella for recording it. You call in every kind of favor when you're doing a podcast. I've been working with youth performers for the past 18 years. I started a company called Broadway Workshop 13 years ago, and we have some pretty incredible kids who've been part of the Broadway Workshop family. You'll meet many of them on this podcast, but I had the idea to sit down with people who are younger people who had success on Broadway from the past and the present and see what their fun stories were and how they got there and how being a child performer may have affected everything in their life or nothing. As our first guest, I wanted to have someone very special, someone I've known for a long time, and I'm very thankful that this child said yes, fresh from hanging up the iconic blue polo, Andrew Feldman.
Hello, it's me.
If there was like applause,
it would happen there.
Now. Yes. Hi, Play Andrew. Sound effect.
Hi. How are you? I'm great.
Great. So you had a big kind of final experience, and now you are in the world again.
I am in the world again. That is the best way to put it.
Great. I went through your Wikipedia last night.
Yeah, isn't that weird that that's there?
I'm not on it, and frankly,
I didn't make it, so I wasn't in charge of the Wikipedia.
Great. So I've known you since you're what, like 9, 10? Do you remember?
I think it was like 9, yeah.
Great. You came to Broadway Workshop to take a class.
Yes, I did it. I did a class, and you were like the first person ever who, like, I sang, you know, whatever song it was probably something from, like, Pippin or something, and you came out of the room to my parents, and you were like, does he have an agent? And they were like, no, they did not want me to do this.
I do a very creepy thing where I go up to people I don't know and be like, does your child have representation? and it's a very strange thing. But yeah, they were not that into it.
No, they never were.
And in fact, I think, I got you an audition for Fun Home on Broadway?
Or you did, and we turned it down.
Pass.
It was Fun Home off Broadway. Okay. Ooh. So nobody knew what it was yet. And so we like read like, you know, it was, you know, I was like 11 and it was like the night before we got the emails. We were like, lesbians, no thanks. Like we were like, we don't want to do this. And then it was a big success, which was
my favorite
unfortunate
musical.
For me.
I know. I'm sorry you missed out on that. I actually was teaming a camp in Kentucky and got a girl an audition for the national tour. And then they read the synopsis and came back the next day and were like, oh, I'm sorry. That show does not have good Christian values.
Ooh. So we were just like, this sounds like a weird thing and it's tomorrow. So I guess I'm not going to do it.
But it seems to turn out all right for you.
It all worked out, I suppose.
And now I think you'd love to do shows with lesbians.
I have done shows with lesbians.
we'll get to those in a minute, I think.
Sure.
Okay, so a lot of people know the story about you sort of doing the Jimmy Awards, doing our high school production of Catch Me If You Can, which qualified you for the Roger Rees Awards.
Yes.
And then you won that.
Yes.
While we were doing Sweet Charity together.
While we were doing Sweet Charity, I went directly from winning the Roger Rees Award to rehearsal for Sweet Charity.
That's wonderful. And I remember being like, did you win?
Or something like that. Yeah, like the rehearsal was happening and I came in with a golden box and you look at me across the room and mouth, did you win? And I like nodded my head and you go, the whole thing. And I was like, yeah. And then we didn't talk about it for like an hour.
I didn't fully really understand what was happening or what this was or what it would have done for you. So once you win these regional awards, it qualifies you for something called the Jimmy Awards.
Right.
Can you just like in a soundbite explain what the Jimmys are?
Yeah. So it's the National High School Musical Theater Awards where I think it's now upwards of 80 kids. And my year was 80. Now it's more than that. Come together in New York and compete and do essentially Broadway boot camp for a week. It's the most, it's to this day, the most intense week of my life. And wow. It like just working like 14 hour days until you get up on the Minskoff stage at the end of it and hopefully win lots and lots
and
of money
and
awards.
And they do all these medleys of shows. So
yes.
It'll be like, what other, so you would sing like your song from Catch Me If You Can, but the person next to you is singing like Jungle Jack.
So my medley was, it was Eddie from Dogfight started it, which is so funny that a kid in high school did Dogfight and then they put it in a medley.
Great.
Then it was Pippin, then it was me, then it was Quasimodo, Then it was Sir Harry from Once Upon a Mattress. And then it was Quasimodo again singing a different song, a different Quasimodo.
Good for Stephen Schwartz.
For Stephen Schwartz. And then I think it was Grasshopper from James and the Giant Peach. Right. And I think there was another one that I'm going to forget and get in trouble. There was a Snoopy. And then I think we closed it out with Prince Topher from Cinderella.
And can we see that on YouTube?
You can see it on YouTube. And that's where the Jimmy Awards has gained so much notoriety.
And then, so they pick like a few, like two, is it two or four boys and four girls? What
is it? It's four boys and four girls.
And then you guys compete on who's going to win the whole night.
Yes.
And that was you.
I did win the whole night.
And Renee Rapp.
And Renee Rapp,
and
who is now in
it's turned out pretty good for both of you.
Very quickly,
now,
too.
Now, the people who won the next year don't know who they are. I don't see them.
They're
in no Broadway shows.
I will not. No, not yet.
So next year they get to be in Broadway shows.
Yes,
so
that's how it works. It's a lineage.
Okay. So in the fast forward version, Tara Rubin is a judge, yes?
Was a judge, yes.
And she's like, that kid's brilliant.
It actually came from Stacey Mindich, a producer who Dear Evan Hansen sponsored the Jimmy Awards. So she was there in the audience and texted Tara Rubin at intermission like, that's the guy. That's our next guy.
So they called you in for an audition. Just gave you 3,000 pages of sides.
So many. Because it was for the male swing. Right.
Yes.
So I had to...
I think
to,
that's how they start you off. They want to scare you and be like, can you do everything?
Well, I think for me, it was to not scare me.
Okay.
So that, like, they weren't like, let's... Like, we're taking him in to be Evan Hansen. Like, that would have been terrifying. It was terrifying anyway, but...
What do you remember most about that audition?
So I walked in the room and was like, hi, everyone. And it was like Michael, like literally, it was Michael. That was my first audition, was Michael Greif, Pascal Paul, Stephen Levinson, Alex Lacamoire, Stacey Mindich, all these people. And I was like, hi, hello. And Michael Greif was like, hello, Andrew, would you like to do some waving for us? And I was like, yes, thank you. And they all laughed. And I was like, sorry, I'm just really excited to be here. And I think that's how I got the role.
Booked it. And then did you have multiple callbacks? 1, 10?
That was it.
That never happens, right?
I know.
Okay.
Well, they needed someone, and Bench always tells me like we needed an Evan, and then you came in the room and we had an Evan, and that was sort of how it went.
And then how long was it till you found out that you?
It was like I think it was like 2 or 3 days because I auditioned when we were doing Wind in the Willows.
Andrew and I have done so many shows together.
We were doing a week long. Wind of the Willows at CMTF Children's Musical Theater Festival at Broadway Workshop.
Thank you.
And you're welcome.
Thanks for the plug.
And I was playing Mr. Toad, and it was the day of the reading, and then the next day I think was my audition, and then like 3 days later I got a call while I was in Wind of the Willows that I got it. Pretty much is the story.
So you couldn't tell anyone, including me.
For months. And you really, really tried.
I'm really sorry. I feel bad about that in retrospect. I'm like, I am making
it
his life
difficult.
A little bit hell.
It was very difficult. There was so much recon.
But also I knew that you got it. And at one point casting told me, and you're like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I signed so many NDAs.
So who knew? They can't fire you now. You're not in the play.
It was my close family.
Okay.
That was it.
Great. And then how much time was it before you could tell people? How long do you have to keep that secret?
It was announced in November, and I found out in, like, July.
July. Jeez.
It was going to be announced in January, but then it started getting out as we had seen from many texts.
We were getting to the end. You were saying you weren't available for anything for the next year. I was like, well, what are you
waiting? Well, I told you that I had, like, a job, but, like, anyway.
No job lasts that long.
I know, yeah.
Yes.
But so it started to get out, so they made it earlier, thank God.
And then you started rehearsals. Did you feel like, oh, my God, I'm going to get fired every moment? They're going to realize I'm a teenager?
Yeah. Every second.
Yeah.
Well, not in rehearsal. Uh-huh. It was doing the show. I was like, oh, I shouldn't. This is wrong. Yeah. Until literally the last day, I was like, this shouldn't be happening. But it also told the story in such a, what I think to be a much differently interesting way, because I was a teenager, and that's what people responded to and what resonated with people so much. So I always reminded myself.
How did you feel like that went in the building with all of these adults who have been in multiple Broadway shows, and all of a sudden the leader, the king of their show, is this 17-year-old
king of the
king,
show?
You're the
like
king.
That.
You're the boss. So this 17-year-old boy, you know, from Long, were you 17 or you were 17?
I was 16 when
it
started.
So the 6-year-old boy from Long Island who was waiting at the stage door 6 months earlier is now the star of our show.
They were really, I knew after the fact that before I came in, everyone was really nervous.
Yeah.
Of like, because like, the also even like the press, like the management people didn't really know me. So they were like, okay, you can't curse anymore. Like, you can't drink around him. Like, and then I came and I was like, I won't curse right now on this podcast, but don't. I was just being myself.
You got the F's fly and everyone's like, this kid's okay.
Yeah. I sort of.
But you've been like 50 years old since you were born.
I guess. Yeah. It's kind of true. So it all worked out. And my place in the company was, I was younger. Like I never felt like I was less than, but like, I also felt like Lisa Brescia was my mom. Mm-hmm. So like, it all felt very right. It all worked out.
Who sort of, people like, obviously there was a lot of transition while you were there.
There always is, yeah.
Who was like the most exciting person for you to have join that cast or that you connected with in a way that felt like this person's in my circle?
Everyone. I mean, Lisa Brescia and I, the relationship that we had is...
She's a very special person.
Really, really. Yeah. She's family, and that was unbelievably special. But kind of everyone. I Gabby Karuba, who came in as Zoe, who she was an understudy before, and we were really good friends before, but then we got even closer when she was cast as... when she was being promoted, I guess. Yeah. And we now are making this play together that I'm going to be.
I know we have to talk
soon.
About that.
We'll talk about it. I don't want to talk about the details just yet, but.
But we could tell people that you're a writer.
Yes, I am a writer. And yes, there is this play that Gabby and I have made together.
And that will see the light of day very soon.
Very soon.
And we could just say that.
Yes.
And it's exciting.
It is very exciting.
And it's cool to flex a different kind of muscle than.
Yeah, it's weird. I finding all these new bucket list things that I want to do in my life because like this was such a big one.
Yeah.
And like I was so laser focused on this, and obviously I'll continue to pursue acting and performing, but I've been so fulfilled by the writing part. That's so
great. So what would you tell us if you were saying where your performance started and where it ended? I saw your first performance and then I saw maybe like your two weeks before you wrapped up, and I saw a completely different kid up there as far as your connection to the material and your ease. But what do you feel like changed within you in that?
It was so gradual for me that it was hard for me to track. I think I learned how much permission I had to be myself, that I really do, this character really does resonate with me. And over the year, I sort of began my own journey with discovering my own anxiety and my own struggles with mental health that everyone has. And then it was like, oh, I don't have to play anything. It was like, oh, I such a weight was lifted off my shoulders when I started to explore that of like, oh, I do have social anxiety, just like Evan, and I can use all these things to put into him. And then as I simplified it more and more, I just found it to be more grounded in myself. And I think that I've heard every Evan, I've heard every Evan talk about this of like the permission to do less. And I think the precedent that Ben set of he did so much and it worked so well for him, that doesn't really work for everyone else. And I wasn't trying to be Ben, but I was trying to be at the level that Ben was at. But my way of getting there had to be simplification and bringing it down a little bit.
It just felt very easy watching you that second time. And I'm so glad I got to see you do it again.
Me too.
That first night was the most insane experience, like almost I've had as an audience member. So I can't imagine what that felt like.
It was
like High School Musical on crack.
It was magical. It was completely magical. There's an audio bootleg of it. I just listened to the applause at the very beginning. It was crazy. And then at my last show, it happened again. But I was like, I had the year on my back and I cut them off. I cut the applause off and I hit the button because I was like, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
So that was really, weird to think about. Wonderful. That night was unreal.
Does it feel like just out of body? Like that couldn't possibly be standing on Broadway playing the best role written for a man. And
on my very last day, it felt like that. Like it feels like now this is my life in a timeline. And then the year that I is like aside, the year that I did this is a completely different thing. And it's really nice to wake up and know that I did this, but also really nice to wake up and not have to like hit a B on Broadway.
Yeah. That's it. That's a dream. So now you can eat pizza.
I can't eat pizza.
Wasn't that the first thing you said?
I ate like 8 slices of pizza at the party after.
Good. How'd that go down?
I was okay. Okay. I got sick like immediately.
It turns out dairy is not good for you, people. If you're listening at home, you're on a drive. No milkshake.
Yeah, don't
do it. It's not going to end well.
If you're planning on playing Evan Hansen, especially, maybe don't.
You went into like a lot of vocal training for this role.
Yes, weekly.
And what kind of things did you learn in there? How did you change your voice so that you could do 8 shows a week of this incredibly hard score? And I'm sure there are people listening that are young people that are trying to perform and are emulating the cast album and are singing like.
Well, that was a big thing for me was because I like my voice was still changing so much when the cast album came out that when I heard Ben, it was close enough to what my voice was already becoming that I was like, oh, let me just go down that path. And whether I was conscious of it or not, I was really emulating Ben. And so a lot of it was, first of all, not listening to that anymore. And then just learning the healthy way to use my instrument, which was Liz Kaplan, our vocal consultant, saved my life. I only called out from vocal fatigue twice. Amazing. The entire year.
What was that? Speaking of anxiety, you being, 16 and starting a Broadway show, not letting anyone see you sweat or not letting anyone see you be like, I can't handle this. What kind of anxiety or how do you deal with calling out for that first time?
It was, I was devastated. Yeah. It was my first week. It was my first
Sunday.
First
Sunday? Yeah.
Because I had used so much adrenaline that first night. Then my body just didn't have any for the rest of the week. So I'd wake up and not have it and slowly get it throughout the rest of the day. So Sunday, I didn't have the time to do that. So I remember we went bowling and I was sitting there like, oh my God, this year is not going to go well.
You went bowling like the morning that you had
went bowling during when the show was happening because I was not there and I needed to like do something. And I was like, oh my God, this year is not going to go well. This is not going to go well at all. But after that, I was scared out of my mind. So I didn't do anything. I never went out and I never talked. So I didn't.
That sounds really fun. when you called out that day, was it like, were you shaking about it? You're like, this is what I have to do. Were you in the right?
I mean, listen, I had the permission to do so because like Evans call out, like, so the Evans have called out Evans. I've been told now that I'm the only Evan that didn't call out mid show. Every Evan is called out mid-show.
Bravo.
Thank you. Yeah. sure. What an accomplishment, I guess. No, but there's nothing wrong with that either.
No, but that you were able at such a young age to maintain what you had or figure out how to get through if you weren't feeling 1,000%. And of course, there's nothing wrong with calling out.
But. Yeah, that was also something I had to navigate was how to do it at like 60% or whatever. But it's a very difficult role to do it less than that or that even. But yeah, so after that, I was scared out of my mind, and but that day, everyone was there in the building. It was like, you're like allowed, like you're allowed to do this. You have to do this right now.
It seems like the building, your producers, your management really took care of you.
Yeah,
and that's something we don't always see with young performers, and it'll be stuff that'll come out on future episodes if you keep listening.
Yeah.
But that it's hard, sometimes they do not take care of you. And partly you're not one of 30 kids in Billy Elliot.
Right.
You were the kid in the building and they had to find a way. But it feels like you felt comfortable to get what you needed and to advocate for yourself.
No, Stacey, our lead producer, Stacey Mindich, who is now like family, truly, to me, she invested in me as a person and said like, she told me recently that she said at the audition, she turned to everyone after I left the room and said, like, if we can't cast him, can I adopt him? Like, she and I just have a lot of love for each other. And so she wanted to make sure I was healthy. And I started doing 5 shows a week rather than 6 and all these things to make sure I was sane and I was still in school and doing all these things. But she's been so supportive every single day from day one.
And so you haven't been in real school since
no.
that summer that you booked the job, right?
Right. I did a couple months after I booked it, and I stopped in like November when we started rehearsals.
Got it. And then you are graduating.
I graduated.
Graduate. Done.
I will be walking with my class at graduation, but I had enough credits to graduate when I finished the show so that I didn't have to like go back to real school for like just like a couple months, the end of my senior year.
Silly.
It felt very silly. So.
And you're going to a pretty good school.
I am. I'm going to Harvard, which I'm very, very excited about.
It's wild. Don't touch anything.
I'm sorry.
Okay. What was it about? I mean, obviously Harvard is Harvard and everyone's very excited about it. But what made it right for you?
Yeah, it was a decision because I was really interested in Yale, actually, because
any other big schools?
People have been making fun of me for saying these things and I wish they would. I write music and I wanted to go for music composition, but then I went to Harvard and they had like everything in one major or concentration as they call it there. It's because Harvard. But it's like under this one theater major, I can do directing, playwriting, dramaturgy, puppeteering, like improv.
So literally every single thing
that I want to do and not like pigeonhole myself because I really can't be pigeonholed, because I know, like, if I had majored in music composition, I would have come out of college and not done music composition. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited that I get to do all the things that I love doing.
And kind of the cool thing about Harvard is, like, right now it feels like a big I did not go to college, so I don't know what I'm talking about. But I've helped a lot of other people go to college. But Rachel Rushoff, who goes there.
Yes, I'm staying with her at visiting students weekend or accepted students weekend.
And we were at a show recently together at her high school, LaGuardia, where she had gone. And I said, is it such a big deal to you that, like, everyone comes up to you that you're going to Harvard? Like, you're so fancy. And she's like, here it is. But when I'm in Harvard, everyone else goes to Harvard.
Yeah.
And so it is not a fancy thing. You're not special because you go to Harvard.
Everyone's at Harvard. No, I know.
But obviously you'll be coming in with a little special, story.
I suppose.
That'll be cool.
But that's the thing, is that everyone at Harvard has a special, you go to Harvard, you're excellent at something.
Yeah.
So that's really cool.
So it'll be like a good place for you to like incubate and learn new things. And
I'm really, really looking forward to it.
I had a thought about going into Evan Hansen. What kind of advice did you get? Taylor Trench was the Evan before you, right? What kind of advice did he give you going in, and what kind of advice did Ben give you? Mm-hmm.
So they were all really careful about, and I appreciate this so much, about not giving me advice on, like, how to play the role, unless I asked for it, which I did, mm-hmm. But because they knew what a personal thing it was and knew that mine was going to be different. But it was mostly how to navigate the world, how to navigate the tears, how to be okay with not having the tears on any given night. And Ben Ross, too, who did it on tour, I talked with him a lot. These men are so brilliant and so gracious and generous. And Ben Platt, like, as soon as I was announced, like, one day texted me, I was like, are you free tonight? Let's go see Waitress. And we did, and we just, like, hung out and talked about
it. But you did not know him.
Well, he followed me on Instagram, and we talked a little bit, but we never, like, met ever, except at the Book of Mormon stage door.
Oh,
so, yeah, for real. So he's so wonderful, and I was actually just talking to him the other day, and Taylor was just in a dumb video that I did, and these people are life friends, because this community is so incredible.
And what kind of things did you tell Jordan Fisher, who's playing the part now? I know that you guys kind of got along pretty well.
We did. We still talk all the time.
Learning the role, but what kind of things did you were like, look out for this, or like, be careful because you're going to get hit with this set piece?
I did feel uncomfortable giving him advice. It felt strange. But we talked a lot about, like, the lifestyle of this whole, same thing as Ben and Taylor, of, like, how you have to handle yourself. And he's really finding that on his own too, but mm-hmm. but just like being really careful about everything.
I mean it's great that I feel like it's not that many people that have played this part in the world.
Yeah, and I think it'll continue to be sort of like a network of
like the brotherhood.
Yeah.
And you get to keep your polo?
I do. I have it framed.
It's very cool.
And it's very bleach stained. I don't really know why. We kept investigating. My polo, I went through like 4 polos over the year because they kept getting like horrible bleach stains on them. And I'm like, is there something wrong with me?
You're like sweating bleach.
I guess. Somebody said that. Like, I think your sweat might be like acidic. And I'm like, what?
I think you're like a teenage boy. and everything you do is gross. Okay. So now that you have like your life back and you're refiguring out what it's like to be, be in the world and not be doing Evan Hansen. Mm-hmm. And I know like you're Disney obsessed. And so you just got back.
I know.
That's like, what do you do now that you've won the Super Bowl?
I was going to get a hat that said, I'm going to Disney World tonight, but I did not do that.
And this is probably the longest you've not been there.
It is the longest I've not. No.
All right.
There were a couple of years when I was in like middle school that we didn't go, but yeah, this is since then the longest I've not been there. And we just did like 4 days, and it was President's Day weekend, so it was so crowded. But
why did you choose that weekend?
Well, because my brother's in school, mm-hmm. and so we had to find a time that worked for him.
Got it.
But we nailed it. We did everything. Galaxy's Edge is unbelievable.
See, like, I have no Star Wars. We're about to move into our story.
You don't need to.
You don't, but I have no Star Wars connection. And when I was in Galaxy's Edge in October, I was like, this all looks dirty. Like, I don't know. I don't know
I'm
looking at, except for like a dirty old plane and a dirty old rock. I don't know. It's a dirty old spaceship. These stormtroopers running around.
Yeah, I guess maybe you need the connection. Did you get on the ride? Did you go on the ride?
I did not go on the ride because I don't like to be in an enclosed area.
Oh, yeah, because you went before the new ride opened. So you're talking about Millennium Falcon.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Understood.
But, you know, I'm all about it. It's like a beautiful set. It's like well done.
It's what has been so crazy that I've been talking about it with all these people is like, you'd have to look really hard to find the words Star Wars anywhere, because like it's putting you in the story and it just looks right. Like it's the only thing I've ever seen where the crowds and the like hundreds of people that go add to it. They feel part of it. And so it's,
what are you, a writer or director? I did ride that very cool Avatar ride where it's like, Flight of Passage.
Isn't that unbelievable?
It is the most unbelievable thing I have ever experienced. I was like, am I crying?
Yeah.
The animal that you are riding is it's breathing into your thighs. And you're like, well, like, am I riding a like Minotaur? Like
it's,
whatever.
Yeah. It's Banshee. What? But yeah, it's unbelievable. Or an,
fantasy
an
is
Ikron.
Lost on me.
That's
I don't
okay.
get it.
Minotaur.
I don't understand it, but it's quite an exceptional experience.
It's unbelievable.
Very cool. What was like obviously the best thing you did with Star Wars?
There? That ride, the new ride, is objectively the best ride they've ever made that has ever been made.
And people go there at 3 a.m. and they
You don't need to anymore. I don't know why people. We had to get up at 6. So So the way that it works in as few words as possible is you have to get a boarding group to get on the ride. It's essentially a lottery on your phone of like who can do it the fastest by milliseconds. And so we did get on the ride twice, but we had a lot of anxiety about it, and we were getting up at 6 every morning.
Sounds like a vacation nightmare, but it's worth
it.
It
was a challenge for us, but we did it. We knew.
I even ate at that weird, there's like a restaurant, it's like a bar.
Ogus Cantina?
Yes.
Isn't that great?
But I didn't get it. This is my fault.
It's just cool.
So in addition to your love for Disney World and Star Wars, you wrote a musical. It's the SW, what do you call it?
SW, just for to be safe, we call
just
it that.
So
technically,
that
I think
nobody
we could call
gets
it
sued.
Star Wars. We could call it Star Wars, technically, but we were very nervous about it. So we call it SW, a new parentheses, Zickle, Hope.
Got it.
And we wrote this, my friend Adrian and I wrote this together in 7th and 8th grade.
Like you do.
And it wasn't very good. Some of the music is good, and some of the like moments are really funny, but like it's 8th grade jokes, it's 8th grade humor. And so I was like, okay, the first thing I want to do is do this with like adults, professional performers, and just like let them try their best to make it work. And they nailed it. It was the most fun.
So I was also there.
Yes.
And I had a blast. And I had no idea what was happening.
Yeah.
But the songs were like great. And
thanks.
That's what I texted you right after, because I was so impressed with that part of it, which I kind of expected it to be like not great music. Because I'm like, what is any seventh grader know? Nothing. If you're listening in seventh grade, you don't know anything. So I was really impressed with like how...
Thank you.
Melodic it was and how fun it was and like up and it didn't feel trite, like, and the lyrics were good.
Thanks.
So like how much work did you do on it between seventh grade and
so we
grade?
Sort of very deliberately didn't change anything. There were new orchestrations. Besides that, the songs were all exactly the same as they were in eighth grade.
So cool.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Who was the most surprising to you that said yes, that they would do it?
Gaten Matarazzo said yeah. He was like, I have surgery tomorrow, but like, yeah, I'll do it. And he was like off book and so good.
He like knew. What I was blown away by him. I also had no idea he could still like sing like that.
Yeah,
sometimes little kid singers
don't grow up to not be
to
as
good.
He hasn't even had, I don't know how much, like, he hasn't had much training since his voice has changed because he's been so busy, but like, I just put out a really big ask for the March 1st one that I won't put the name out
here. So he's not doing the next one?
No. Well, he's not. Antonio Cipriano will be doing Luke at the next one, but I for a different role, I won't say the name here.
So in case you're interested, it's probably sold out already, but
yes.
54, yes, we're sold out. 54 Below, you did two performances,
yes,
7 and 9:30.
We're doing that again.
And March 1st. It's not March 1st.
It is March 1st.
Okay, great. If you're not going to Star Wars, you can come see Fair Alvin on vinyl, The Green Room,
oh,
March
yes.
1st, 7 that I directed. But otherwise, try to get into Andrew's show.
Yeah, there's a wait list.
But, and you're not going to be in it again.
I will be in it again because I've asked everyone in the business that could possibly play that role and everyone is busy. So I will be.
And who did you play the last time?
I played Han Solo.
See, I knew
and
that.
I played Han Solo and Darth Vader the first time we did it in 2016.
Okay.
But I had no intention of being in it until my good friend Kyle Selig.
Love Kyle.
Dropped out last second. Well. So first was Jason Gauthier who had to drop out last second. And then I emailed Aaron Tveit, who gave me the nicest
he
note.
He responded?
Ever. Yeah, it was
That's
really
so
nice.
Great.
Well, because he's a big Star Wars fan.
I email
fan.
Him all the time to teach workshops and doesn't respond at all. So
he did respond. It was very nice. And like a couple other people that I asked that said no. So but Kyle was like so excited and so committed. And then like 2 days before he told me.
He got a fancy job for a minute. So
yes.
I can say whatever I want. All right, cool. So so you have your own production company, theater company that's based on Long Island that is kind of producing these Star
yes.
Wars SW, as we were going to legally call them events.
Legally, yes.
Tell us how that came about and what this name means, because I always get it wrong. Znifrock?
Znifrock, that's right.
Oh, I got it right.
Yeah, that's right.
I wrote it out phonetically on my notes.
yeah, I started it as my bar mitzvah project, which I like to say is the most Jewish way to start a theater company. And I was 12 and we just did like a cabaret. It was for Next for Autism because I have a brother. He's really my cousin, but we were essentially raised together on the spectrum. And it was just the obvious choice. So when I was 12, we started this thing to raise money for this organization called Next for Autism.
What was the first show you guys did?
We just did like a cabaret of like whatever everyone wanted to sing. I put in like medleys based on shows and it was very silly and wore like shirts that were the colors of the costumes that they wear and I sang Dancing Through Life and it was dumb
and like a green
it was like
t-shirt.
A red
oh,
polo
got it.
Which is like
oh like
Fiera.
In
the,
I got you
yeah it was that sort of thing and then the next year we did a Beatles cabaret because I'm a big Beatles fan and that was an added challenge because nobody knew the song so I had to like music direct the show and then the year after that we did Star Wars which was our first like fully staged musical and that was I really yelled at those freaking kids
who are all the same age as you
me and I yelled at them so very much and then the year after that we did Seussical which was a reimagining of
oh I remember
like
that.
Sort of like a darker like more politically conscious bad idea reimagining of Seussical there's a good way of doing it that I'm planning on doing
right.
It is a new bucket list
I do remember you telling me about that Seussical and I was like well that's not how it was intended but knock yourself
yeah off. Well it was really about you know because we saw so many productions that were like the flashes and that was what was wrong with it on Broadway was the flash sort of took away from the story the reason it ever got to Broadway was because of the Toronto workshop where they had no set and no costumes and they were like oh my god this show is incredible and then they brought it to Broadway and it was this huge glamorous thing and it flopped which now it's a big phenomenon because of the flash and like that's fun for community theaters but we were like let's put it all the way in the other direction and what we found is that the strongest moments that we
like
had
Fortnite emphysema or whatever
no we were 14 so like we couldn't really go like hard on a lot of the things we wanted to tackle but like the war stuff was like had new meaning and like Jojo we sort of put like a little bit on the spectrum and like
it's very cool.
We did It's Possible as his like drunk fantasy and he has these abusive parents and we did like a whole thing and some of it was very interesting some of it was not but what we found our strongest moments were when there were moments of just pure connection that you don't often see in that show and so I sort of have an idea that I'm not going to talk about because I don't want someone to steal it but I'm going to
more to come at Harvard
I'm going to try Seussical again yeah and then we did Be More Chill the year after that before it
Jesus.
Got to Broadway I will not I love the show so
I'm not gonna dog anything yet
Man, yeah it's too early on your podcast
tough.
Timeline
I think it'll make people listen. No, it's a great show. Greatest musical I've ever seen.
I'm not talking about this at all, but I loved the show and we had a really good time doing it. And then we did the last 5 years after that.
And you did something very cool with that.
Yes. We switched the gender configuration in every performance. So it would be, you know, typical male, female, and then female, male, female, female, male, male. And it was like so fun and really like very like I can do it very cookie cutter now that it's like if I ever have like 8 really talented people that I want to do something with I can just put the show up which is really cool to have in my back pocket.
And you directed that as well?
Yes.
What do you feel like if you're really looking long-term at where you're going, or what do you think, obviously it's doing a lot of everything, but if you could see yourself doing one thing, like if you have to pick one thing, are you a performer? Do you want to be a director? Like, obviously you can do whatever you want, but what do you...
You know, I don't know. I think I need a lot of work in directing because I'm very unfamiliar with the design aspect mm-hmm. of it all. But I love doing it. I don't know. It's very hard for me to say right now because I love doing all of it.
Creating.
And I feel like I am like equally good at all of them, which is, to me, I don't see it as being like great at all of them, but like I'm just as good in one as I am in the other. So it's hard for me to say because like this play that Gabby and I have made is very, very familiar to me. So I'm like, I don't know if I'm a good writer or if I just know these people mm-hmm. very well. And with directing, it was all very on a small scale. And so I don't know. I want to do all of these things is my plan. A lot of people say to me that I'm going to end up being a director, which I'd love to be.
Yeah, well, we're not done with you on Broadway yet. So is there anything you'd like to be doing now on Broadway that...
I'd love to originate a role. There's no like... role. There's a couple that like I've been called in for that I'm like, what? Like they call...
Can you tell?
Can I say?
Yeah.
I was called in to do to be Damien in Mean Girls, and like, it was nice, but I was like, I don't think this I could do not... that. I don't think I could tap dance my way through that.
Not a total great fit, but I would be there.
Yeah, a couple weird ones that I'm just like, I just don't think they're for me. And that was hard. I've never really like passed on anything, so it was very weird.
Pass.
I passed on a lot of stuff recently because it's been like, okay, what is the thing that I'm willing to miss mm-hmm. school for, essentially? Yeah.
And if you had to defer a year, wouldn't you?
No, and we always sort of agreed on that like I will finish college. I will like graduate from college with a degree, but if it takes longer than the 4 years, that's okay.
Yeah.
But I'd really love to originate a role on Broadway in a musical or a play.
Well, that's very exciting. Being a huge Broadway fan, being a performer, how did that affect sort of where you were with people at the stage door? I was at Mean Girls the other night, and I was backstage for probably like 40 minutes. And when I came out, there were still like hundreds of people there.
I'm wow.
Like, aren't you guys cold? Is there somewhere you can go? But like, and I love that there's this Broadway fandom. And when I was a kid growing up, that wasn't... There would be like me and maybe like one person waiting for Linda Etter at yeah. Jekyll and Hyde. But I wasn't a big, it wasn't part, there was no stage door culture.
No,
it
yeah.
It would be like someone it's you were now. Obsessed with only you in know, the
I,
90s.
So I never did pictures at the stage door. I did at the beginning, but then I was like, I was commuting back and forth to Long Island and then I had school the next day most days. So I was like, I don't have the time to do pictures. And then the last day I was like, you know what? I'll do pictures. And it was an absolute nightmare. And I was like, I'm so glad I didn't do this because oh my God, it was a nightmare. I mean, there were a lot of people waiting like particularly that day,
yeah.
but I was out there for like, I think like half an hour.
Are there very strange interactions that either happen at the stage door or Instagram? I mean, it's just,
yeah.
Broadway performers are so easy to connect with.
Yeah, well, we sort of have like, with our show, it's different because like often those connections are like really, really raw moments. So what I try to do when somebody's really opening their heart to me is I ask their name and then, you know, they'll tell me their name and I'll be like, Alyssa, thank you so much for coming to the show. And that'll sort of be it. And it just means a lot, just that little moment of connection. But then, yeah, there are some weird ones. My favorite one that's ever happened was, I'm trying to remember the specifics, but there was family in the front row, this like Italian and or Jewish, probably Jewish family. I think, you know, yes, they were Jewish.
Actually no difference?
There's no Go difference. Ahead. They were Jewish. They were in the front row. And like, they were like texting literally the entire show. And then like it was Broadway Care season and I sang a song in Hebrew on Carols for a Cure, which was really fun. And they were like, you know Hebrew at the stage door. They're like, how do you know? Hey, you're from Long Island. We're from Long Island. And I was like, did you like the show? Were you listening to the show? Because literally like I looked down after Good For You and it's black and she's like on her phone and then like literally not applauding. But then at the end they were like crying and I was like, what? Who are you? That was my favorite one.
That was a little bit. What are those guys that you like to do?
Hello. John Mulaney. Yeah, John Mulaney and Nick Kroll.
Who are you? Not to make a total left, but you lost your mom this year, yes. which was like the most horrific thing to watch. And I'm so sorry that
Thank you.
Happened. And but you're doing something pretty amazing in her memory. And I yeah. just think that we should share the story and tell people what's happening because it's your mom is so special and so lovely to me all these years, and I can't imagine doing the show the show that you had to do with?
Yeah. Well, all I wanted was to get back to it because mm-hmm. it was so cathartic, and that was where so much of my healing took place. And it was a place where I had to cry every mm-hmm. night. And I really didn't cry much outside of the music box because I didn't have much left, and that was kind of good.
Yeah.
To have a place to pour that off. But yes, we're doing this thing, the celebration. So they're renaming and renovating the theater facilities at my school after my mom. It's going to be the Barbara Barthelme Performing Arts Center, and I'm so happy about it. And so to raise money for the renovations, we've already raised upwards of $30,000.
Wow.
We're doing celebration for the Barbara Barthelme Performing Arts Center in her style, in our style. So we're doing, it'll be sort of like a tribute to a lot of the shows my company's done in the past in this space. It'll be a tribute to some of her favorite songs. And then also just like the typical silliness that you've come to expect from me and our company. So it's going to be really special. We have Gavin Creel is going to be partaking, Ben Fankhauser. I'm going to forget people because there's so
Leslie
many.
Leslie Margarita,
Renee Michaela's Rapp, doing Michaela it. Diamond.
That's amazing. Yeah. And so that's at the Lawrence Wood Meyer Academy.
It is.
And that's May 31st,
mm-hmm.
but it is
It is sold
definitely
out.
Definitely
There's
sold
a
out.
Chance there will be some more tickets on sale, but okay. I cannot say for sure.
No.
It is very sold out.
Were you surprised how the outpouring of, I mean, I was getting texts from people that I have not talked to in 10 years. Be like, are you going? Like, it just felt like
nice.
So many people wanted to come out and support you and support your mom.
It's going to be really fun. I think we kind of set it up to be sold out with the lineup that we had. But people were so supportive, and like people that are like big in this business were emailing me like, how can I donate? So that was really.
And is there a place that if people want to just donate and help support?
So if you go to the Lawrence Wood Meyer Academy website, it's very, very easy. It's like right there on the front page. You can donate to the renovation.
And they can also go to your company website.
They're on our website, and there will be also soon on our website a place where you can donate to our company if you'd like.
You need that.
Yeah, I know. It's been because we had to like make it a real nonprofit, and so we did, but now we have to like do it again.
A real person doing real things.
I suppose. Because usually it's me just being like, okay, let's do this, and somebody being like, you know, you need to do this to do that, right? And I'm like, okay, then let's do that.
That's normally, sort of how it goes. Normally me. Like, Andrew, what
are
you doing?
That's true, yes.
Okay, we have like two little sections before we wrap up today.
Cool.
So I want to ask all of our guests like what they're obsessed with right now. If there is a book, a movie, a podcast, a Broadway show.
So obsessed with High School Musical, the musical, the series.
Oh, yay, Tim Federle.
He was one of the people who donated like immediately. He's the best.
Great human.
I've seen every episode like 6 times, and I've been listening. Like the other day in Penn Station, I listened to Breaking Free, like the new version, like literally 11 times consecutively in a row. It's perfect. It's so good. It's so real, so authentic to like the theater kid experience. But they're not making any more of that, so I guess that's not what I'm obsessed with right now, this very second. Oh, okay, this is sort of different.
They're making more.
They are making more.
But they're not making more right.
There's not more that I can access.
But you can be obsessed with it. Like, someone else obsessed.
Yes, yeah, I recommend it. If you have not watched it, I highly recommend it. It just, like, knows exactly what it is, and everyone's so talented. It's very good. I'm obsessed with the American Dream Mall. It's in New Jersey.
Okay, work with
me. It's, like, 10 minutes outside of the city.
Is there a water slide?
There's going to be a water park. They haven't opened yet, but right now it's the Nickelodeon Universe. It's a theme park, and it's just like right here, and it's very good. And I've gone 3 times since.
Like, what do you do there?
Like roller coasters, and like every other ride is like the best ride at a really good carnival.
Right.
Like, that's every ride there.
Indoor roller coasters make me think I'm going to die immediately. Like, I just feel like there's no chance of survival. If there's a Cinnabon nearby, like if it's in a mall, it just feels.
No, it's very, it's like a theme
terrifying.
Park. It's not like,
okay.
it's like a,
so you don't
Nickelodeon.
See like a Banana Republic and the ride you're riding?
No, it's its own like section of the mall. And also, it's like the only thing that's open right now besides indoor skiing, which is a whole other thing.
And it is in New Jersey, which might deter many people who ain't New Jersey.
But it's literally like right across from the MetLife Stadium. So it's right there.
All
right. Like there's a express from Port Authority that every time it's taken us like 10 minutes.
God, if you need bus tips.
I've never been on a bus like from Port Authority. I've never even been inside Port Authority until we went to.
But
the
now
American
it's like
Hall.
Your spot.
Yeah.
All right. So those are your obsessed things. Okay. We're going to do what we're calling the Broadway Workshop Quickfire Questions.
Oh, boy.
We'll see how this goes. You're the first person. This may get canceled after today. and they're just a list of questions we put together for you to give us a quick answer. If you need a search for a second, you can do it. Okay. Favorite day of the week?
Not
that hard.
Monday.
Okay. Last Broadway cast album you listened to?
I have to remember. Oh my God, it might be Shrek the Musical.
How long does it take you to get ready?
I am very fast. I'm very, very fast.
Like 10 minutes or under?
Like, if I have to, I will get out of bed and brush my teeth and leave the house.
Great, dirty. Dirty teen. What show are you most excited for this Broadway season?
You know, it's not, I don't know that it's a, like, coming, but Almost Famous I'm very excited
Great.
For.
That's next season, so you failed that.
Oh, wait, then I need to think. Wait, I don't know. Diana? I haven't seen Jagged Little Pill. Right. I haven't even seen Hadestown.
Right. We gotta get you to the theater.
What's coming?
I mean, forget it. yes, I'm most excited about Six, which I'll see in.
Oh, I'm very excited for Six. Last show obsession.
Like when you were maybe like younger. I don't know.
I mean, like Parade, maybe. All I right. guess.
How good of a driver are you?
I'm getting better.
Crash. Last Halloween costume.
I was an inflatable minion. I wore an inflatable minion costume because I thought it was really funny, and it was.
Great. Last person who texted you?
Roman Banks, an understudy at Dear Evan Hansen.
Great. Pizza, bagel, or pizza bagel?
All of the above, I guess. I mean, pizza bagels are so accessible, so great. I guess pizza bagels.
climb every mountain or some mountains?
What? I guess every mountain, I guess.
I think these are funnier if they're faster. You okay, guys, you can write
fast.
In and
we'll
let
fast,
me know.
We'll go fast.
Can you name one show on Discovery ID?
No.
Great. I can name all of them. Are all lifeguards attractive?
Yes.
What Disney ride do you love?
Haunted Mansion.
What Disney ride do you think is terrible?
None of them. I have no controversial opinions about Disney.
Do you know any songs in Titanic?
The musical?
Yes.
Barrett's song. Great. Like, do I know, like, could I sing it?
I mean, you're not going to sing
it. I can
now.
Go, like, and the men's draw back. That's what I know.
Then you know it. If you could ask Patti LuPone one question, what would it be?
When you posted that subtweet a couple months ago, was it about me?
Okay. Mean Girls or Legally Blonde?
I mean, I did Legally Blonde twice, so I'm going to have to say Legally Blonde.
What was your first audition song that you can remember? Like, in your little book with your plastic pages?
I had If I Were a Rich Man in there. Oh, so that was the
Age
kind of book that I had until I went to you and sang, like, Proud of Your Boy, which is not
also
much
another song I don't like. So let's take that one out. We can talk about auditions another time. Are you afraid of costume characters?
No.
Great.
But a little bit. Because yes. I always think about it like, oh, no, this is a person.
Yeah, there's a man in there. There's a man who's going to ask you for $10 if you're in Times Square. terrifying. Do you watch any shows on Bravo?
No.
Can you name two housewives? Like,
I'm going to guess Debbie and Laura.
No, there's no Debbie and there's no Laura. But thank you. Have you ever left a show at intermission?
Not that I can remember. Maybe when I was really little.
All right. What movie can you watch over and over again?
Like, I'll say it.
Current it? Like it?
Like the
Tim Curry?
No. The new one. It's one of my favorite movies. I just like, that's one movie that I can like watch all the time. And there's more that I can think of, but that's always the one.
Have you seen Dolores Claiborne?
No.
Right. You're going to watch it. It's obsessed. Okay. Fill in the blank. The food at Sardi's is
pretty good. It's good. It's more the ambiance, I think.
Yes. I was going to say salty. have you seen a full episode of Say Yes to the Dress?
No, not a full episode, okay. No.
Weirdest gift you ever received at the stage door?
Weirdest gift. They've all been good because they're all like, they always bring me like Disney stuff. You know what? Somebody sent me like, you know those worms that are like on a string and they're like fuzzy?
Okay.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No,
they have like googly eyes.
All right.
I got those.
I gave Linda her a Beanie Baby once. I'm so embarrassed about it.
Nice.
Like, every day I wake up, I'm like, I'm so embarrassed.
Brought out a printed picture of Jafar from the movie Aladdin for Jonathan Freeman to sign, and he didn't come out to the stage door. Oh,
sorry about that. If you could listen to one Broadway cast recording for all time, what would it be?
I wouldn't want to do that. That sounds terrible.
No, but you have to pick one. Like, you're on...
Bridges of Madison County.
Oh, samesies.
Yeah.
Good one.
Easy.
If you could be in any Broadway show tonight that's not Dear Evan Hansen... Like, they're just going to throw you in
like
Broadway.
Like, which
show.
One could I do?
No, just, like, what would you love to do? If it's okay if it's the wrong...
Does it have to be Broadway?
Yeah. You can't think of anything on Broadway.
Well, I was going to say Little Shop of Horrors, but...
All right, well, that counts. I'll give it to you. You could actually, like, do that.
I'd like to.
You're,
I'm a little
Maybe
young.
You're going in after. Maybe we'll young it down.
And like that's how they make it not hot anymore. That's how they fix the problem.
You know what's not hot? Teens. Words to live by. Andrew.
The other answer is six, though. Let's do that.
Yeah, let's do six. We'll do it together. I'm all we'll vocal all damage six. In case you can't tell.
I don't have a voice right now. So.
Perfect. Okay. So how do people find you? It's not hard.
I'm Andrew B. Feldman _ on Instagram. Andrew B. Feldman, if you hear this, I'd really love your username. That's it. You can go to sneakfrockproductions.com to see who I really am.
Andrew B. Feldman.
There's another guy, Andrew B. Feldman, who has that username, and I wish I could have it. No, but he posts actively.
But most people know you as Andrew Feldman, in life.
And it's also really complicated to change your username if you're verified. You have to call and they don't answer.
If you're verifying.
All right.
Okay. All right. So they can find you there. We're going to look out for your play, which is happening.
Please. You'll hear about it probably.
You can get on the waiting list for Celebration.
For Celebration Woodmere. And Star Wars.
You can get on the waiting list for Star Wars and we'll see all the things that are happening. I have to thank my friend Blake who helped me kind of put this podcast together. Dory for letting me do it. My friend Justin Cowan for coming up with the name, and I'm so thankful for everyone to kind of listen up and see if we if you want to keep listening. So our next episode will be Miss Michaela Diamond, Broadway's Cher. She's gonna be like her. No,
that's how she is in real life.
She's just talking like Cher all the time, bitch. Keep listening to the Little Me podcast, and we'll bring you some fun guests and some good stories. So thank you all, and thank you Broadway Podcast Network, and we'll be back soon. Thank you, listeners. This podcast is produced by Alan Seals, Dory Berenstein, and the Broadway Podcast Network, and edited by Derek Gunther. For more information on the Little Me podcast, go to bpn.fm/littleme. And follow me on Instagram at @MarkTuminelli or on Twitter at @ThatTuminelli. And for more information on workshops, classes, and everything Broadway Workshop, go to BroadwayWorkshop.com. Thank you for listening.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.